Hey, a few weeks ago, we finished up Galatians, so I've been kind of thinking about where I was going to go from there. And then I realized we have upcoming, and actually next week is the closer one, but I'm going to begin this week. This church is celebrating 40 years. 40 years. You know, we have a long history back, but it's all by the grace of God, and it comes from God. But it's important for us to stop and reflect on those things. It's almost speak on those things. Some of these I've said before. I've been spending time sitting down and going over things I've said in similar sermons in the past and elaborating and maybe expanding any as well. So it's hey, take a while. I don't know if I'll even get started good this week. But I want to talk about pressing on in the words of Stonewall, reflecting on his words to his troops. Press on, men! Press on! That's what we're to be about. We're to press on. That's our duty. We don't have to know how everything's going to turn out. We don't have to know the way it's going to end. We're to press on. So press on after 40 years by the grace of God. I want to share with you all a reminder. A reminder. I like to make these from time to time. Got a bookmark commemorating our 40 years. Began meeting by the grace of God. We covenanted together, and really, to my understanding, the Holy Spirit covenanted us together. It'll be 40 years on July the 14th, which will be Monday, next week, Monday, I guess. And we met in my little home down there in Leisure City in Homestead. Chairs in the living room. My family, my immediate family, my family that was down there, that's what we started by the grace of God. To add a little bit of context to that, and it's not really about me, but the Lord was pleased to use me to start the work down there, so very brief overview, testimony, whatever you would. The Lord saved me as a young man. I grew up, my dad had been a Presbyterian. We went to church maybe on once or twice a year. I didn't know any better, you know. I hated that the church interfered with Easter. Well, now I know Easter's pagan. And regardless, but you know, but supposedly it was supposed to be about the resurrection and such, but no, I thought Easter we should be able to have fun and do stuff and not be bothered with church. That was my attitude as a young man. Eventually the Lord started a church down there in Homestead that was somewhat of like faith and practice. And it's probably become less of like faith and practice over the years. But I grew up, the Lord saved me in a church down there as a young man. And I the pastor said I was about the most serious young man he ever knew. And I believe the Lord was calling me to preach as a young man. But as I grew up and in my teen years, I kind of drifted away. By the grace of God, He brought me back. He brought me back through a friend. He brought me back even through some things that I wouldn't say it justifies those things, but God uses those. He brought me back through a Southern Baptist church that I wouldn't even recognize as a true church today. But the Lord brought me back through a friend, my diving buddy, who was in the Southern Baptist church. We used to go out diving together all the time, and he kept bugging me to come to church with him. Well, I grew up in an independent, fundamental Baptist church, and I probably wouldn't have went to a church like that. But I grew up knowing how compromised the Southern Baptists were, and I thought, okay, well, I can go to church with Jim, and I won't have to worry about getting convicted or anything. But the Lord had different ideas. And it wasn't anything I heard from the pulpit or anything that I heard in the Sunday school, but the Lord began to bring me under conviction. We got involved in the church there. And I believe the Lord began to deal with me again about the ministry, about preaching. And I didn't know where to go. I didn't know any better. I thought I would have to go to a seminary somewhere. And the pastor there encouraged I go where he went, which was a Southern Baptist seminary in North Carolina. Eventually, we did that, and it was a liberal hellhole. And I couldn't stomach it. I finished the year there. I went to another place that was a conservative hellhole, which was Liberty Baptist under Jerry Falwell. Eventually, I found a seminary that I could stomach long enough to graduate. And I managed to get a 3-year postgraduate degree in 3 years, even though I moved every year. That was all by the grace of God. And I was more serious about seminary than I'd ever been about college. Sometimes I wonder how I made it through college. I mean, I didn't. Diane's how I made it through college. The Lord brought her into my life and kind of made me buckle down a little bit. Plus, all I cared about then is I wanted a commission in the Marine Corps. I wanted to be a Marine Corps officer. I didn't know any better. I would not recommend the Marine Corps or seminary to anybody today. But the Lord used those things. The Lord used that Southern Baptist church and brought me along back to where I should be. After I finished up cemetery, I already had convictions that I would go pulpit supply some places. And I was supplied, and they even wanted to interview me to take the pulpit there because they didn't have a pastor. But as we got together and talked with the committee, they were like, I'm sorry. I'm not infallible. But whatever I believe the Lord's taught to me, I'm going to preach that. I'm going to proclaim that. I don't care if it's convenient or not. I don't care if people like it or not. I don't care if it chases people off or not. That's not my business. My business is to say, thus saith the Lord. And I understand I don't do that perfectly. I understand I don't have complete comprehension. But I only have what comprehension I have. And so and then some of these churches I was going back and forth. And I remember the one we went to, and they had divorced and remarried people in the leadership of the church. Well, I don't think that's right. I don't think a deacon can be divorced and remarried. God forgives all that stuff, but there are consequences. Scripture says the deacon's to be the husband of one wife. Well, these guys weren't. But people want to get broad and embrace things. So, well, you got to do that if you have to go along to get along today, right? Well, no, you don't. But if you don't, you're going to preach to 7 or 8 people, which this is more than I usually preach to. So we got a good crew today. We have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 counting. that's not my business. The Lord says where two or three are gathered together. Well, the Lord covenanted us together. And as long as there's two or three, by His grace, I intend to go on. I can't promise anything. I don't know. Do I ever want to quit? Yeah, about every week. But we'll talk about that. I don't think I can. So in 1980, I resigned my commission as a captain in the Marine Corps and went off to a seminary. Eventually got my Master of Divinity. I'm under the conviction now that men ought to be trained up by the local churches. They ought to be trained. Yes, there's some things they could learn. Maybe even they could go someplace and take some language lessons or whatever. But generally, and maybe because of my background, the Lord's equipped me, I can probably do that if the time ever came. I would have to sharpen my old language skills because I've forgotten a lot of Hebrew and Greek. And that's not necessary. We have the preserved word in the English language, which is the King James Bible. But it helps to understand the background. They're originally written in Hebrew, originally written in Greek. In a particular Hebrew and a particular Greek. And if you don't understand that, then you'll be reading all these modern perversions, which aren't really Bibles. Well, we were up in Watertown, Wisconsin, and I asked the church there to give us their blessing or to authorize us, which isn't necessary. I don't believe these folks hold to essential mother-daughter authority and this almost a hierarchy amongst some Baptists today. I don't believe that's really what the Scriptures teach. And some folks don't want to fellowship with me because I say that. But regardless, I did ask the church there to authorize us, to bless us, to go down to Homestead and begin a new work. That was from Calvary Baptist Church in Watertown, Wisconsin. And again, there's much there that I disagree with. And if they were to see me today, they would probably disavow me. I don't care. I know what the Lord's taught me and where He's brought me to. So we started in our home. Eventually, we rented a school room at a private school that was down the road. It was called Berkshire School. Well, sorry, I was looking up a little bit, and I guess I already knew that because we went down there visiting. And I forget. It's not Berkshire School anymore. It is Lincoln Martin School. That tells you what's happened to South Florida, where I'm from. It's not even a part of Florida anymore. It's not really a part of the United States anymore. It's a part of northern Cuba. And this school there is called Lincoln Martin School. Well, you know what I think about Lincoln. And Martin, I understand Cuban patriotism. Jose Martin was considered the, quote, father of Cuba. And I don't begrudge those people that. But I wish they would do that in Cuba. But such is where we are. So we had a room in this school that we rented. Heather had started learning to play the piano when we were up in Wisconsin. I don't think they didn't have a piano in that school. I just kind of strummed chords on my guitar and we sang hymns. Eventually, when we got other circumstances, we got a little piano somewhere, I can't remember where, that we put in the church meeting house. Anyway, from that little school, and this is the background, and I hope I'm not boring anybody or wasting time, but we met in that little school, and then the Lord opened up an opportunity for a room in an old motel that was in Homestead. So it was like, I think we had two adjoining rooms there. And this motel, it was right onto the main drag coming into Homestead. Now it's called the A1 Budget Motel. But I forget what it was called back then. And it was like a Carib motel, but I'm not sure if that's what that one was. There was an Everglades motel, too. Maybe that was it. But anyway, we had rooms in this place, and it wasn't really a motel anymore. But they were renting rooms for her to stay. So we rented a room there for a while. Eventually, the opportunity opened up to purchase a business in downtown Homestead. And it was originally an old cracker house. And those old cracker houses down in South Florida, they were made out of Dade County pine, and they were up on concrete pillars, not real high ones, maybe 2 foot or so. They were mounted on pillars, made out of Dade County pine, just an old cracker house. But it had been turned into a business. In fact, it was owned by a relative of mine. And so we decided as a church to purchase that. I took the church down and showed it to them, and they all thought I was crazy. Because you could go into that old house, and you could look up, and you could see the sky through the roof, the ceiling. And you could look down, and you could see the ground through the floorboards. And I had no idea what I was doing. I'm not a carpenter. I'm not a construction guy. But by the grace of God, and with some help, my grandpa, who was an ancient electrician from down in Homestead, we got that thing back up. We got it serviceable. And that was our meeting house there in downtown Homestead. And that old cracker house had survived numerous hurricanes, Dade County pine, whatever their heart. But Hurricane Andrew kind of done the same. And there wasn't hardly any coming back and rebuilding that place. As we looked around and thought about what we might do, some of our members had went elsewhere. And the zoning down there in Homestead and such had changed such that we could never afford to build something or get into something. So we were looking around, deciding what we're going to do. And one of our old members was up here going to college, finishing up his master's degree. Maybe he was still his bachelor's at the time. But anyway, he was finishing up his degrees at the University of Florida. And so we were looking around, deciding what we were going to do. And he'd come down and helped us. After Andrew. And he said, well, if you're looking around, come look around up here at least, because I can't find any place to go to church. So we came up, looked around, and a realtor that his dad had used for something, a Jewish lady, didn't know us from Manhattan. I told her what we wanted, what we were looking for. She brought us around, showed us some place, and this was one of the places she showed us. And the Lord had already made a meeting house for us down here, basically, again, do a little bit. It was, from my perspective, perfect. In fact, the Lord knows those things. So He led us here. He brought us to here. And we've been here in this place for like 30-some years. How long have we been here, hon? 35? How long have we been here? Okay, 94. You do the math. 31 years, maybe. But anyway, that we've been here for that. We were in Homestead. And it's been 40 years since the Lord led me back to Homestead to begin to work there. It's by the grace of God. It's not about me. I tell you what, I wish we had a better pastor. I really, really do. I don't just say that to be saying that. It is pretty sad commentary on things that I'm the best pastor I can find. Maybe you can find a better one. If you can't, though. But such as it is, the Lord's put me here, and that's His business. And by His grace, I want to do the best that I can. We've sometimes been a little bit bigger than this. Number-wise, that's what people want to talk about. We've sometimes been smaller than this. But two or three is what the book says. Again, some of these folks that have been essential mother-daughter authority, and they got to have, and some folks even hold, well, the synagogue, you had to have 10 men. This isn't a synagogue. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in the context of talking about the church and talking about church discipline, which we'll get to as well, said where two or three are gathered. And again, that word there can speak of are gathered together. Not only that we decided to, but I believe we're gathered together by the Holy Spirit. He brought us together. He placed us here. So here we are. And we've always been a small congregation. We've always been, if you will, a remnant. If you've not noticed, we're different. And I believe if we're not different, we have no reason to be here. We have no reason to continue on. I mean, I would just, you know, go sit in a pew somewhere, listen to somebody else preach. But I don't think, I don't know any places hardly I could stomach that. Not around here, and not too many places in the whole country, to be honest. And I'm not trying to brag about things. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, because I don't deserve any of it. But I just, the Lord's taught me some things. I just couldn't stand some things. And so as Stonewall said, by the grace of God, press on! And press on! So it's been 40 years. Well, I didn't get off my first page of introduction. And I think I sat there, my computer, and put together at least 12 pages. So, I don't know, I'm not saying it's going to take 12 or 13 weeks. They might. I don't care. There's a lot I wanted to talk about. And it's like a shotgun blast eventually. It's going to be covering a lot of ground. It's like a shotgun blast from like an 8-gauge shotgun, which would be about that big around. And with no choke. And it would just scatter. That's kind of the way I preach sometimes. Maybe all the time. Couple verses, and I'll kind of wrap it up for the day and hit some high points. Jeremiah spoke to Israel. And again, these folks, listen, I believe God's not finished with Israel. This is a whole other topic. But I believe God is not finished with Israel. I don't viscerally hate the Jews like I know some folks that do. But I want to tell you something. Israel is a hot mess. And we shouldn't encourage them in wrongdoing. We should kind of not be involved. And if you say, well, you know, now they want to tell you, this empire now, well, if you say anything bad about Israel, you're an anti-Semite. And they basically want to deport you. You know who they'd be deporting? Jeremiah. I mean, Jeremiah was a Jew. He was a prophet of God. He said some pretty hard things to Israel. And so, I think we need to realize what's transpiring, what God's doing. And yeah, God uses Pharaoh. God uses Donald Trump. God uses Jimmy Carter. God uses, you know, all these in His providence. Doesn't mean they're right. I get folks saying, I get folks saying, well, I hate the terminology God saved. But they'll say, well, why don't you like the NIV? I got saved reading the NIV. I hope you did. I'll take your word for it. That does not justify the NIV. It's still a perversion of God's holy word. God may use that for His purposes. It doesn't justify it. Just like, you know, I kind of got back into church initially through a Southern Baptist church. That doesn't justify the Southern Baptist Convention and the gross heresy that's gotten into in recent years. And immorality. Now, I know that. Because we were associated with one of the, who was going to be one of the future presidents of the Southern Baptist Convention. He's suing them now because they brought him to task for his marital infidelities. Because he lost millions of dollars. He's suing the Southern Baptist Convention. I think part of it was resolved and that he didn't get what he wanted. Brother, God uses these things, but it doesn't justify them just because he uses them. God used wicked hands to crucify the Lord. That did not justify them. They were still wicked. But God is sovereign. That's our trust. That's our assurance. Anyway, Jeremiah would probably be deported because he would be called anti-Semitic because he said hard things to Israel. And really, it's not our place to be saying hard things to Israel except it's the word God speaks to it directly. It's our business to be out of their business. It's our business to not be involved all around the world, imposing our will and our morality or lack of morality. Jeremiah spoke to Israel and he said, Jeremiah 6, verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye, all y'all, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths." We consider ourselves, and I consider myself an old school Baptist, or if you want to call me an old path Baptist. "Ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." What's Israel say? But they said, "We will not walk therein. We don't like that. It's not popular. We will not walk therein." "Also, I sent watchmen," the Lord says, "over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet." Wake up to what's going on. "Hearken to the sound of the trumpet." But they said, "We will not hearken. We're not going to listen to that junk. We're not going to change our way of living." And they reaped what they sowed. Revelation. The Lord has the Apostle John write to the church in Thyatira. "But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." The Lord said, "Oh, y'all, those of you in Thyatira that haven't fallen completely into apostasy, I'm not going to put any more burden on you at this time. What you have, hold fast till I come." Folks say, "Well, I'm at the end of my rope." I think I've heard my mom say that times about me, maybe. "But I'm at the end of my rope." You know what you do when you get to the end of the rope? You tie a knot and you hold on. You tie a knot and you hold on. "I will put in another burden, but that which you have, hold fast till I come." Well, in the coming weeks and after this sermon, I want to talk about some details again about Christian life and separation. What the Bible teaches, I believe. It ain't popular. They're not going to draw big crowds. That's popular. The reason, at least in part of the reason is that I'm such a terrible preacher. And part of the reason is I'm such a terrible singer, it chases people up, maybe. I don't know. But I hope that part of the reason is because we stand for the truth. We stand for what the Bible says. And so beyond the unworthy preaching of this pastor, and I said, where can I go? Where else can I go? The Lord told his disciples one time when those those that were following him began to go away. He said, are you going to go away too? What did they say? We don't have anywhere to go. Where would we go? I'll expand upon some of this maybe next week. Well, for sure next week. If the Lord tarries and I don't die. I couldn't go someplace that did not preach. Not just tell me they believe it and then preach Arminianism. No, it didn't preach sovereign grace. It didn't preach the absolute sovereignty of God and the absolute predestination of everything. And he chose a people in Christ before. I could not sit through anything else. I think it would physically make me sick. Sovereign grace. The pagan holidays. Again, some people ignorantly follow some things, but I could not sit there in a church that had a big old Christmas tree up here, a big old idol to Nimrod up at the front of the church. I couldn't do that. Before we ended up coming down to Homestead, we were still part of the church up there, and they had some of that stuff in there. And then sometimes would teach the adult Sunday school class if Dr. Strauss wasn't going to be able to be there. And they asked me if I wanted to preach the adult Sunday school class. And I said, sure, I'm going to preach from Jeremiah 10. And they said, sure, you're not going to preach. Okay. Or not the way they hear it. Talking about cutting down the tree and setting it up. So that's what I'm going to preach about. Well, no, you're not. Okay. Basically, that's what, I can't remember the exact details and the words, but that's what transpired. Again, separation. We proclaim that personal separation. Ecclesiastes. If we're not different, we have no reason to be. Really. We have no reason to be. We ought to look different than the world. And I've had to deal with that in the past. And I more readily deal with stuff. But, you know, there's a matter of modesty. There's a matter of gender-appropriate clothing. And I'm preaching part of this sermon and one that's going to be a few months down the road. But still, to speak of these things. Again, the sanctity of the impermanence of marriage. Fornication is still sin. You know, I don't care what the world does. Involved in sexual relations outside of marriage is a sin. You say, well, but other, I don't care what other. I know what the Bible says. Fornication is a sin. Well, you preach that just flat out, straight out, most churches today, and you'll be having problems. That's sad, preacher. Again, I spoke already. I couldn't sit through it. I'm not saying that they're apostates, that they're not Christians, but I could not sit through a sermon that somebody was preaching from the NIV or the NASB or some of that other. I could not do it. The Holy Spirit within me would be offended. And so here's some of the reasons we're still here. Here's some of the reasons why. We're as big as we are, I guess. The Lord knows. Again, church truths. Most folks want to hold hands and kumbaya and invite everybody, to observe the Lord's Supper with them. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches closed observance by church members only. Say, well, you might offend somebody. I would rather offend somebody than offend the Lord. And why would that offend them? If I go to some church and they have the Lord's Supper, I don't want to participate in it. I would be sinning against God. So rather than just say, well, we'll go along to get along, why don't we teach people the truth? Saw some Transform Life, I think it is, kind of website stuff. She was talking about her last posting was about, you know, piercings and tattoos and all these things. And they said, well, what about those people who got piercings and tattoos? You're going to hurt their feelings. She said, shouldn't we be teaching the young generation not to do that? I mean, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. There's forgiveness for all that. But because somebody happens to have a piercing or a tattoo and I can't preach about it anymore, I don't think so. God can forgive all that. Understand that. But we shouldn't remain silent and just allow another generation to be tumbled over in this stuff. Maybe some simpler things. I just got a list here, and then I'm going to come back later to them. But, you know, we sing the old hymns in this book. This is a Sovereign Grace hymnal that was put together by Sovereign Grace Church. One of the hymns we sang today was by Sister Catherine Parrish. She was a member of the Sovereign Grace Church, a faithful member. She wrote words to a lot of new hymns, words, but faithful hymn words. Old in what they teach. And, you know, most churches today, you've got to have a screen up here, and you've got to have bebop, and you've got to have whatever's going on. We're not going to do that. I couldn't sit through that. I'm sorry. And so that's what, you know, because we mentioned today, I sang, Nearer My God to Thee. And we thank God for those who came before us, for our forebears, for those who fought for truths and passed on truths to us. But most folks tell you I'm some kind of a rationalist or something because of I honor my forebears. I don't begrudge anybody doing that either. But when God used folks to pass on truth, to preserve truth, to protect our families and our way of life, I think it's right to remember them, to honor them. The Bible teaches that. And I'm sure there's much more. Folks say, well, talking about preachers. Well, he just rides that hobby horse all the time. And it could be about the Sovereign Grace, or it could be about the Bible. Or he just rides. I don't ride a hobby horse all the time. I've got a whole stable of hobby horses. And by the grace of God, I seek to proclaim the truth. And by the grace of God, do you think I've been bad up till now? By the grace of God, I won't be worse. I turned 70. I'm 75 years old. You know? What's going to happen? The Lord's going to come back someday. People are going to get mad at me. I've had people mad at me. I can't tell you. You know, sobriquet, that's like a nickname you have. Like General Jackson or Stonewall. Well, I've got some sobriquets at some places I run rifle and pistol matches. But I can't repeat them from the pulpit. But, you know, they call me something. That's okay. Doesn't bother me. They call me something, that's okay. But you better not say that to the person that's running the line for me when I'm running that match or you're going home. I don't care what they say. Brother Spurgeon said, when somebody says something terrible about you, you shouldn't let that bother you. Because you should know that you're a whole lot worse than what they just said. That's the truth. Most of them, they say terrible things about me. And you don't know the half about it. You would call me even worse things. Now, I'm not proud of that. I'm thankful for God's grace. But listen, you want to call me names? I probably deserve that and worse. But I got a gracious God. A forgiving God. A sovereign God. So by the grace of God, we press on. And so that's the beginning of my pressing on after 40 years sermon, and I don't think it'll take 40 years to finish this, but it'll take however long it takes. I'm at that point now. I take however long it takes. Occasionally situations come up and I got to try to finish a sermon in 1 week or 2 weeks, and that really bothers me. I don't know. Maybe it shouldn't. God is gracious. God has given us 40 years. I'm thankful for this church. Not because of me, but where else would I go? And in His providence, He raised us up that I would have a place to go to church. I would have a place. Some of you have a place to go to church if you want. If it doesn't suit you well, you find where you think the Lord wants you to be. I don't twist anybody's arms and say, you need to do this, and we're the only right ones. But I don't know any place else I could go. So I'm kind of stuck here. And you may or may not be stuck here. That's between you and the Lord. Okay, I rambled enough today. We'll pick up from there, wherever it is that we are, next week. Number 47, and this kind of speaks of the Lord's church as well. A shelter in the time of storm. You know, this world is falling apart. The wheels are all coming off. But the Lord has His little flock. If life can stand, as we sing number 47, a shelter in the time of storm.
The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Safe for whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Our shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes afright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms lay round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
Heavenly Father, we thank You. This day, Lord, we thank You as we're marking now the 40 years that this has been Your little flock. Father, we can praise only Your faithfulness. We can praise only Your grace. There's nothing of which we're deserving of. There's nothing for which we should be wanted. But Lord, You should receive all glory. Father, we pray Your hand upon us that by Your grace You might keep us faithful that we might not compromise, that we might not waver, that we might, as we said, press on. Lord, we know the time is short. Soon we'll be standing before our Lord and Savior, giving an account of the deeds that are done in the flesh. Father, by your grace, and by your grace alone, may we be found faithful. Father, we thank you again for your hand on the 10 saints that say we're away, for giving them traveling mercies, for giving them a blessed time of fellowship with family, for returning them safely. Pray, Lord, for our sister Carol as she seeks your guidance and direction about her future paths. Lord, we pray for each of us. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Hal, his faithfulness through the years, his encouragement. Lord, I thank you for my faithful life. Humanly speaking, Lord, without her, I can't imagine that we would be where we are today. Father, thank you that you chose a person in your Son, chose a people in your Son, that he made atonement for that people, that your Spirit gives life to that people and draws them to yourself. Lord, help us never want to be used of it. We pray in Jesus' name.